Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're again grateful to be in your house which you provided for us, a place to come together to worship you and have fellowship with you, Lord, around your word. We are happy for that. We're also glad, Lord, for your grace that you make us to believe by that same divine grace, Lord, that we are your dwelling place in part, not that there aren't others also, but we believe that this place is hallowed unto you, and we, in our hearts, Lord, believe your presence is with us, even as the prophet said, I tell you by vision he is here, our eyes don't see it, but we believe it, Lord, because we have received the proof that you gave us, and our faith rests in it. Now help us in the study of your word. May every thought, Lord, be brought into captivity to you, and every word, Lord, even also grant these mercies in Jesus' name, we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're in number 25 of Satan's Eden, and we haven't got very far in actually reading it. So let's just read a little bit tonight, and then we'll get into some thoughts that I have. And on page 17, in paragraph 64, Brother Branham said, "Then if Eve lusted for knowledge, it was sin. And when we lust for knowledge," I want a Ph.D., LL.D., "it is sin to do so." And, of course, that's correct. If it was sin then, it's sin now. That's one of Brother Branham's strong statements concerning women's dress, where women began singing the song, "Roll 'em, girlies, roll 'em." And I know the woman didn't sing it. A man sang, and he got the women doing it because that's what he wanted. he said, "If my mother had gone the way women are today, they'd have put her in an insane institution or locked her up." And so this thought here is very, very accurate, because God does not change, his ways do not change, his judgment does not change. And if it was wrong for Eve to lust after knowledge, regardless if that was a carnal knowledge or a mental knowledge, it is wrong to do so even now. So he said, when we lust for a Ph.D., it is sin to do so. That is a strong statement, but it is true. No matter how strong it is, it's still the truth, see? To lust for knowledge, understanding. The thing of it is today we don't try to establish the Word of God in people's hearts. That's the very thing that Satan did not want to do, is establish the Word in her heart. He wanted to disestablish it by appealing to her mind, her sense, and so on. Now, what's he say we're doing? We're trying to establish ourselves. Churches are trying to establish the doctrine of the church in a person's heart. Now, what was the doctrine of Satan? We are commanded to establish the Word of God. Paul said, "I didn't come to you with enticing words of man, that your faith might rest within the knowledge of man, but I came to you in power, in manifestation of the Holy Ghost, that your faith might rest in God," and so on. Now, Brother Branham also, as he goes into Eve lusting for knowledge, steps immediately into what was the actual manifestation of her sin, which was sexual intercourse with the wrong person, which was the beast, so closely related to man that the seed could mingle. Now, just going back then over this thought that Brother Branham brings out of knowledge, a wrong kind, of course, Satan in interjecting his own understanding, not so much his understanding as his own desire to defeat the Word of Almighty God. So we think of that tonight. So in the beginning, Adam had the authority and therefore the mind of God to begin in the Garden of Eden, as is evidenced in Genesis 2:19, wherein he names all the animals and so on. But this was already proclaimed as his legal right before God, for the Scripture says in Genesis 1:26-28 that he was to have dominion over the earth, and particularly named the creatures. And so if he was going to have dominion over them, of course he would have to categorize, differentiate, and know the things concerning them, and this he did. So what God told him to do at that particular time, when he wasn't in a physical body, but in a spirit body, he then did in his physical body. Now, since there is now actual scripture concerning Adam, physically clothed. And the Bible tells us that this man that was spiritual being was now physically clothed. And since the command was given him when he was in the spirit form, now listen carefully, he is no less in stature in the physical. Now many people want to denigrate the physical. I've got news for you. The physical is perfectly what God wants, and even in a higher and glorified form. Don't look down on your bodies the way the Catholic religion taught. Priests could not marry. They even actually emasculated themselves. They flagellate themselves. They cut themselves. This is contrary to the Word of God. The body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and any man desecrating it is in trouble. Now, see, it starts right here. The stature that God gave Adam is his period because he is Adam. And in the flesh, he began to perform only what was given to him in the spirit. And that's the way it is even today. God does not have children apart from physical forms. And it's ordained, as Brother Branham said, Philip had the seed as he went down and brought forth light to the Ethiopian eunuch. So we see here then, very clearly in Scripture, that when God clothed Adam in physical flesh, he had no less stature than when he was in his physical spirit body. Now, we know what happened in Genesis 2:19. When he began naming the animals, that was only the start. It was not the finishing of it. It was just the start. And there's an interruption there. And you'll notice how the interruption ceases when it says the lamb will lie down with the lion, and the ox and the lion will eat grass and hay together. That was only the start of what would proceed as all creation came into view before him. Now, man has tried to do that. Millions of men have tried to catalog what is in the earth by zoology and biology. I'm not smart in these sciences. You people that have good education know what I'm talking about. And it's all Greek to me because that's essentially what it is. It's all Greek. There's a lot of Latin there too. Of course, that doesn't do me any good either. But here was one man able by the Spirit of God, and in a physical body, he could have gone through the entire world population, whether it be flora or fauna. It was started there. And, of course, that was that inner anointing of the Spirit of God upon him as he had come from God. Now, watch this carefully. Starting at this point, there was to be a progression to the tree of life, wherein he would be immortal. In other words, he was given something to start with and to progress onward and upward. It was a marvelous start that the man had in the right direction. And it had within it everything to come to the destination that God wanted it. And there was an interruption. Remember Brother Branham's words. I marvel at how precise, concise, and so marvelously enlightening they all are. Now, they had then the opportunity to go on to the tree of life, to immortality, but they gave way to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, we talked of Adam, what he was, and how his abilities were within him innately. Eve also was blessed with the same mind, though it would come to her via Adam. Now, she was able to get it because of Adam. Now, just going back to Adam a little different. I think I'm right at this. I think that there are children that are autistic. There are little children. A little fella can sit in darkness and go boing, 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 boing the head, and suddenly sit down at the piano and play like a Beethoven. Rattle, rattle, bang, 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 and rattle off mathematical equations. Huh? What was Adam like then apart from human knowledge with the knowledge of God? You can't explain these kids that suddenly are geniuses. And I don't know if they can wipe their nose or go to the bathroom. Where'd it come from? What was Adam really like? We'll never know till we get back where he was. And that we won't either. We got to go by then. Now, Eve got her knowledge via Adam. This is not to say that she would name animals, etc., as he did. But nonetheless, she would be substantially led by the Lord as a co-equal partner. And you will notice that she had his name. She was not called Eve. Adam called her that. And he called her Eve because she was the mother of all living and he was not the father of all living. So she was in him and she had him and she had his name. And by him, she was to reproduce him, which is a perfect picture of Christ in the bride. And she has his name. That's why the Bible says she thinks, the people at the end time in Malachi think upon his name because it is her name. And she's not trying to be Mrs. Methodist, Mrs. Presbyterian, Mrs. this and Mrs. that. And she's not trying to mess around with a new name. That was sarcastic. It was meant to be. If you don't think so, I'm sorry for you because I'm not fooling up here tonight. I don't fool up here anyway. Now, since Ezekiel 28 emphatically declares that Satan was in Eden, thou wast in Eden, we see this is through serpent identification with Satan, even as Adam was identified with God as a son of God. Satan cannot create, so he used the highest form possible outside of man to get to man and inundate the human race. Satan comes to Eve through this creature and begins to prey, P-R-E-Y, upon her innocence. And you'll see Brother Branham mentions that. And her seeming lack of understanding, for he pretends to make a better way for her than she already has as a part of the family of God, with power and authority from God, because she had it. Wherever Adam was, she could be, and she could be a part of it. He actually is leading her into his own rebellion against God, for he said, I will ascend above the Most High, I'm going to be like him, I will do my thing, and I will put God at naught. And he said, you'll be like God, in fact, you'll be even better, you'll know more. In fact, we know after the white throne, Satan brings all his serpent seed together and they come against the holy encampment, not the holy city now, but the encampment, and fire comes down out of heaven from God, which I suppose turns into the lake of fire where they will spend some time before the consummation. Satan accomplishes Eve's alienation from God by the simple procedure of adding a word to the command word of Almighty God. When she accepts that one word added, she believes not a lie, but the lie, because there is only one. Only one thing that was being dealt with here, and all else stems from it. And that is not so much eating of the tree of life and negating it, but the thing was, would she believe the word of God about it? See, that's what you're looking at. Everybody wants to argue what the Word of God says about everything. And so that's where it started. She believed the lie, which, of course, negated her faith. And from one word off, we have the last church age of total unbelief. See? Now, notice particularly that the symbology of this disobedience is a tree called the knowledge of good and evil. Now notice the tree is not called evil and good. For that would be great, to work up from bad to good, or to work up from sin to righteousness, or evil to good, but it doesn't say that. It says it is good and evil. And he tried to get her to pull herself up by her bootstraps. And when she turned on the righteousness of God, going about to make her own way, she destroyed herself. And that's exactly what Paul says in the book of Romans. When they had the chance to know his righteousness, they turned from it. They went about to establish their own and voided thereby the righteousness of God, even as Jesus said, in vain do you worship me, having for your doctrine the traditions of men. Now, over here in Genesis 1, I think I wrote down here correctly. If I didn't, I'm wrong. Yeah, Genesis 1:31. It said, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Everything is very good. Everything in the beginning, and there's nothing in itself that is evil of itself, and all things are pure to the pure in heart. That is strictly the word of Almighty God. Now, in other words, as Brother Branham said, truth, a lie rather, is nothing but the perversion of the truth. And that's where Satan started, and that's where the age ends. It is going to be a persuasion built upon a perversion. And this can never lead to reality. Always you will notice, even in the first church age, they had the reality and they turned from it. Therefore, everything must start with God and his good. And if there's ever going to be, therefore, a discontinuation of the tree of life, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it must come to the place where men will realize intrinsically that which is good and never deviate by any perversion which is adding or taken from it. Thus we can see that whatever is good can be perverted and changed to that which is evil. And in no place in the Bible does it say the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was taken away from man, taken away from Eden, taken away from the earth. Only the tree of life was. Now, if you want to go and you see that, we read it already in Psalm 107. And it says in verses 10 to 12, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor, they fell down, and there was none to help. Now, the only help, of course, is from God. Satan can bring a downfall, but he cannot bring the uprising. Now, to truly see this and understand what we're saying, look at Cain and Abel. And you could read that in Genesis, the fourth chapter. And in Genesis, the fourth chapter, we find there the Word of God says, thou hast offered well, or right. But if thou hast not rightly divided, hast thou not sinned? That the book of Hebrews agrees with that. The Word of God by Paul distinctly says that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, showing that the sacrifice of Cain was good, even as Brother Branham also says later on in this message here, how that people in a sermon can actually say something that is good, but it is entirely wrong. See, because they do not divide correctly. Now, over here in 1 John, the third chapter, we read this many, many times and explained it very, very thoroughly. We see what we're talking about. He says in here, this is a message you heard in the beginning in verse 11, that we should love one another. Not as Cain was of that wicked one and slew his brother. It tells you right there that Cain was not of Adam. Now, the Pentecostals hate this. If anybody hates it, that rabid bunch of howling, emotional people hate this. They don't have a scholar amongst them when it comes to the real Word of God. Because they have defied the true concepts which are in the Word of Almighty God. I know what they're like. I wouldn't trust one, wouldn't trust a bushel. Now it says here, Cain was of the wicked one, and he slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now, what was the evil deed of Cain? Worshipping God. Attempting to have fellowship when there was no fellowship, because fellowship depends upon sonship. There wasn't any fellowship. The worship, therefore, was deliberately self-seeking. In other words, he tried to gain a position the same as Satan did by some placating or some devious work. And just as Satan perverted the word, so did his offspring pervert the word of God, because the truth was not in him. When the Bible said Satan was a liar and a murderer in the beginning, there is no place where you can find that Satan ever murdered anybody. He caused murder. It would be after the fact or accomplice. But the liar and the murderer was Cain. And you find him identified with Satan, even as the beast was, because he was the son of the beast. And you will find in 2 Peter the same story, that at the end time, it is a beast race. Now, there it is. Look up 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, 2 and 3. You find the very same thing there. The church was seduced. The church was deceived. The church was beguiled. How? Through an interpolation of a wrong word. They are already beguiled by Satan's own twisting of the word. And therefore, they had another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel, and so on, until it ends in the church. In Revelation 3:14 and through, where it says they're wretched, miserable, naked, and don't know it. They're spouting off of their mouth and prating about all their goods. We're rich, increased in goods. We don't lack a thing. Why, I'm no widow. I sit here in splendor. I've got the husband. I've got this. I've got that. And they no more know God. And Brother Branham said, a Hottentot would know about an Egyptian knight, whatever that means. But he knew what it was. I don't. In Luke 11, the 35th verse of the 11th chapter of Luke. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. It tells you right there that the light can turn to darkness exactly what it did. The knowledge of good and evil. Using the right thing for the wrong purpose. Putting a wrong connotation upon the word. Just exactly as Cain did in the time of Abel. Now, also, in Revelation, we notice in Revelation here, 3:14, 2:17, and so on, the condition of the church. And we have to realize that something has to be done. But as long as man is a free moral agent, as long as he is here on earth and can make a wrong choice, that is, pervert the truth, there is no way for the tree of life to come back and satisfy the cry for immortality, though it has to come back. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is this. Man made a choice. And God has to abrogate man's free moral agency somehow, so that man will not make a wrong choice. In other words, there's got to be something happen in the end time so strong that the church, so devious and out of the way, is going to be able to come back. Now, let us look at Hebrews, the 5th chapter. And here we're going to find the correction. And we'll begin at the 5th verse. So also Christ glorified not himself, made an high priest, but he descended, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. That's way back in the beginning, went through progression. Said, thou art now a priest, after the order of Melchizedek. Now, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered prayers and supplications, strong crying and tears of him, was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect. Now, coming to the end of that particular time, through his suffering, he reached a state of perfection, proven to be the true child of God, the Son of God, thereby becoming the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now, he's in the order of Melchizedek, and he's able now to offer eternal salvation to those that obey him, and the obedience is one of faith. Now, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, that's able to minister the bread and the wine. This has not to do with the sacrifice. That would come under the Aaronic order. The presentation of blood and the body to God would come under the Aaronic order. Presenting to us would come under the Melchizedek order. Now, it says concerning this Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, for For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, here is where you are coming to what I am driving at, the condition that is laid down that brings immortality. Now, he said here, many things are hard to understand about Melchizedek because of the dullness of the hearing of that which is uttered. And when the time is there that the people should come to the place of maturity where they would be teachers, they simply cannot handle it. Because they're unskilled in the word of righteousness. Now notice the key, the word of righteousness. So there's a word of unrighteousness, there's a word of righteousness. And when you go back to Abel, he had the word of righteousness, and Cain and his brother Cain had the word of unrighteousness. In other words, one is a true revelation, and one is a wrong revelation. Now, it says here, at the time of adulthood, and adulthood, of course, is that time that we are looking forward to inheriting that which is for the adults. And adulthood, then, is the adoption where you're placed as children, and where sons, where your name is as good as a father's on the check, and you're now able to take over as sons, which means to share the kingdom. That's why they hated Jesus. Why, they said, if this is the Son of God, then he's equal with God. Because the firstborn, the son, inherits 50% of what the dad has. See? Just like Eve had 50% of what Adam had. Turned over. Now, what you're looking at here then is adulthood or maturity or the adoption which takes place within the resurrection. That is a major portion. That is the greater part of it. So what I'm driving at is this. They have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Eve could not do it. So, therefore, at the end time, there will be a people whose senses are exercised unto righteousness. They will not be into the unrighteous, which Cain was into, wherein he worshipped God. Now, he wasn't in fellowship with God. He wasn't in communion with God. He simply had the word of God. And he interpreted and did what he wanted with it, and it was unrighteousness. You understand what I'm saying? Then at the end time, there is no tree of righteousness and unrighteousness. There is no tree of good and evil to the bride. She doesn't indulge in it. She is not fooled by it. Therefore, there is only one tree, which is the tree of life, which was guaranteed in the first church age. So, at the end of the seventh church age, under the seventh seal, the tree of life becomes available. And at that time, he that's righteous is righteous still, and he that's filthy is filthy still. And you go plumb into the millennium. You see what I'm talking about. Because you got to go to Genesis and take it all the way through. You mess up. So the major verse, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age. What's the full age? Number 7. What's the full time? Ephesians 4. When you're taken up by a fivefold ministry, which is the Holy Ghost of the people. Now, if you've got those kind of preachers and pastors, you can trust them. They're ordained to see you through. But any mealy-mouthed preacher doesn't necessarily mean that he's a true fivefold. No way, shape, and form. That's Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Now, who by reason of their senses. In other words, right in this condition, we supersede Eve and can make the proper choices. On what condition? Well, you know as well as I do. It happens to be in the Melchizedek era. Who is this Melchizedek? The one that is giving the wine and the bread to the bride, giving her the word of God and the life of that word that came from his blood, now becoming fully manifest. Now listen, once Eve and then Adam saw their fall, they screamed for help, for a way to the tree of life. But God denied it by removing it, knowing its access would complicate and eternalize their problem. So he had to remove it. Now, believe me, if the opportunity to receive that pure word had been extended to them after the fall, in order to get back to the availability of immortality, they would never have listened to a lie again, or the lie, or any lie. You see what I'm telling you? Brother Branham said the bride in this age can't be fooled. She's not interested in being fooled. Ha! Make him a minor doctrine. What's the matter with those people around here in Ohio? Because they got a few millionaires amongst them? They got somebody's money? Is that what it is? That's Roman Catholicism. Your stinking money, you can have it. It'll never get you out of the grave and send you to hell. They say, oh, that's just a minor doctrine. I didn't know he was a doctrine. You people listen to me, listen hard. See, you do what you want. But they had sold all God's sons into captivity and slavery. And they must now wait for the last one born in child train. He couldn't just come and redeem Adam and Eve. He gave a token of redemption by slaying a lamb and putting them in the skins and covering them up. Hey, but at the end time, it's a different story when the last one's in. So there's no more. Now, you can't fool them. They're like the first church age. Why, he said, I've got a little thing against you. You've fallen away from your first love, but he said, I'll tell you what you got for you. You knew those apostles were false. And Brother Brand said, how did they know they were false? See, you weren't preaching the same word that Paul preached. So therefore, they've got to return to the first church age word. Now, listen. Their minds, Adam and Eve, after the fall, would have refused any other seed than the word seed of God had they had a chance to start over. They weren't exercised. We've been coming up exercised since the time of Luther. Justification, sanctification, baptism. Now the true Holy Ghost himself. That is the Lutherans blaspheme the Methodists. The Methodists blaspheme the Pentecostals. The Pentecostals are blaspheming him. Who is the manifested word. See? Now, the womb of their minds would have been shut up. If she'd have spun on Satan and said, shut up. Don't you dare talk to me against the word. Her mind would have snapped right in there. What do you think saved my soul that night? Brother Branham preaching, he said, the shout is the message. And I said to myself, Brother Branham, you said a lot of strange things. I don't think I can take that. I heard myself say right at falling, when was he ever wrong? And I said, praise God. Shout's the message. Who gives a rip? That's what it is. Didn't understand. That's what changes you. Spins you around. Not some half-baked idea. I shook the prophet's hand. I talked. I did this. He sat in my home. We sat on the floor. Fap, I slept in his bed two nights in a row. I ate at his table. He ate with me. He was in my home. Everything else, nothing rubbed off. Now, this is exactly what the first church would have done in 2 Corinthians had she had the chance. But she couldn't do it. And this is what the last church exactly has to do. She's got to do it. Look at over here. In 2 Thessalonians. And you can see it for yourself. The second chapter, 12 to 13, that the all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They weren't exercised unto righteousness, and they got fooled by the Antichrist with his signs and his wonders and his programs. That's why you say, come along, say, Brother Bill, what if some greater man came on the scene than Brother Bram? Well, they give him a 45 and try to blow his guts out, spiritually speaking. Now, I hope I would anyway. Because anything else coming is a counterfeit. Jesus said, I came in my Father's name, they turned me down. There'll be a man come in his own name. He said, you'll take him. That man's senses are not sharpened and exercised under righteousness. That's a doctrine. Yeah, pillar of fire is a doctrine. And it's not much of a doctrine either. Because you don't major in a minor. Yeah, you guys up north of us. But we're bound to give thanks always to God, your brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning to salvation, to sanctification of the Spirit, even believer of the truth. They're the ones whose senses are exercised under righteousness. They can say, that's a false anointed one. Stand right there and know it. Not carried away by some sign and wonder and miracle. A big shot went up to preach at a man's funeral up there. His wife engaged a friend of mine in conversation. Oh, she said, you know, Brother so-and-so preached in the church, and this dear brother got so excited, began stomping his feet and screaming and jumping around. You know, bless God, he received the Holy Ghost. He hadn't received it for 20-some years. Received it. Brother Branagh said there wasn't any emotion or sign with it. Oh, so nice to contradict the prophet. He said, you pile word upon word. That's the real baptism with the Holy Ghost. When you're entirely filled up and people don't even want the word. Just like Eve got all messed up. Take a look over here in Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Read it just the way it's written. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Well, you're away from doctrine. Now you're right to presence. Because it said, this will do if God permit we go to perfection. And perfection is a conclusion. And you're talking about the Melchizedek ministry. We're coming to a conclusion. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened, had the word. That's once for all. That's the seventh church age message. Taste the heavenly gift. Partake the Holy Ghost. Taste the good word of God. The power of the word to come. Having fallen away, they can never come to repentance. Their senses are not exercised under righteousness. They don't know. There's your answer. There's your answer. What came when you do what you want. But you see, Brother Bill, why are they all hipped up and happy and jumping up and down? Brother Man have said the revival's over. You can pull a sour glare if you want. You can feel a knife in your tummy, any one thing you want. You might not feel happy, but that's it. The Lord was manifested. Vindicated. What do you want? You jump up and down to make it legal? You scream and shout to make it legal? Pah! Don't give me such nonsense. Listen, it says here, they'll fall away. They crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh, and put him in open shame. Now what does it say? For the earth which drinketh the rain to come oft upon, how many times? 7 times. Brings forth herb meat for them by whom is dressed, receiving blessing from God. What's that tell you? The seed that's sown by the Holy Ghost in a fivefold ministry is going to come forth. And all the other people with it too, sowing the seed of salvation. But the briars are rejected, and the end is burning. And every time you see that word burning, it's got to be an end time. But that's the only time it burns. My God, have pity. Can you understand that much? You understand what I'm saying? You're just dreaming tonight. Come on. Especially women. I'm sorry if you've been... You don't trust your husband for your salvation. Don't be stupid. Listen to me. When you see that word burning, there's only one time it can burn. The end of the great tribulation. And that's God he's talking. He's talking about the tribulation here, not the lake of fire. Malachi 4 starts, not the lake of fire, but the end time burning in the judgmental punitive wrath of Almighty God to go right down to the lake of fire, to the white throne. Why did Brother Branham say we stand before the white throne? Because it's the ancient of days that came down as judge. You're before the white throne right now, whether you want to believe it or not. Thus, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 13, which gives the story of the Antichrist and gives the deliverance, is bound to 1 Thessalonians 4:13, which is his appearing when he comes down in the form of the Son of Man in order to bring forth the truth as we need in this hour, which is 1 Corinthians 15:20-55, which is setting in order the resurrection to bring it about. And notice, the changing of the living is set after that, because it starts in verse 51. So you got to have a resurrection first. But they without us cannot be made perfect. So we come right in line with them. This is what I told you on Sunday in Acts 3:19 to 26. The great healing revival that sets the stage for the doctrine, which is the doctrine of his appearing, which is his presence. Elijah coming on the scene is bound up to Revelation 10, 1-7, when God himself comes down to a prophet. Now with that in mind, let's look at restoration. We're talking about it. What's going to bring it back? The annulling of what took it away. What took it away? They fell for Satan's lie, the perversion of God's word. They fell for the good and the evil. And as whenever Satan handles the good, it becomes evil, because Satan's not a creator and he doesn't have a word. All he's got is exactly what God did in God's word. And that's what he handles. And when he handles it, something's going to go haywire. When he began to handle it, which types of church, the whole thing fell into sin and disrepute in the judgment of Almighty God. Now with that in mind, we go to restoration. In the 8th chapter of Romans, it tells you distinctly there's going to be restoration. And it says creation is groaning, waiting for the sons of man, the sons of God to be manifested, to be set in the adoption, which the fullness comes in the resurrection when they all stand there. And then all nature is going to follow it. And of course, this is based on Revelation chapter 22, 1 to 14, which is the city of New Jerusalem with the Lamb on the throne, the pillar of fire above the throne. See? And the Lamb there with his servants to serve him. And I believe at that time, when he said, you'll sit with me in my throne, I believe that New Jerusalem is positively the whole throne. Now, I'm talking off the top of my head, not with something Brother Branham said. But how are we going to sit in his throne unless that's the case? Now, notice, the bride sits in the throne, Brother Branham said, with her husband. And the 144,000 are the eunuchs who served the bride. Well, if that ain't New Jerusalem, you tell me what it is. I call that the throne. Well, that's where the power comes from. That's like the Eden. All around outside is where the billions of the others are, the foolish virgin. Now, they're identical to those inside. They're cut from the same cloth, but they're out of a different pattern. Now, notice, this mighty angel tells John all about it. He writes it down. Now he said, behold, I come quickly. Jesus, the one that starts, said the voice, said, I come quickly. And I, John, saw these things. And he fell at the angel's feet to worship him. And he said, see, you don't do it. Then he said, seal not the sayings of the prophet book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust still, filthy, filthy still, righteous, righteous still, holy, holy still. Blessed are they that wash their robes. That they may have the right to the tree of life and enter into the gates into the city. Now it tells you right here, at the time of the entering into
the gates of the city, which means that which gets you into it, they're righteous, unrighteous, holy, unholy, clean, filthy, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Standing right there. But the tree of life is there, which is not good and evil. It's good, 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 good. It's God. Now what happens? How do these people get there? They get it by the book becoming unsealed. And they don't see it. It was even Adam that sealed up the book of the tree of life. God had to take it away. It wasn't what God did, it was what they did. Now then, let man come back at the end time to the true word of life. He'll enter into the gates of the city. That's why Brother Branham said right now, time and eternity are blended. That's why you look at the white throne going on right now. Everything is all running in a smooth line. I say, brother, sister, if we are under the word of the hour and we are really bright, then it's over. You haven't got to worry. You haven't got to care. Because you've discerned between the false anointed and the true anointed. If you didn't read Brother Branham, I let the cat out of the bag. If you want to know the false anointed, there's guys like Oral Roberts and those fellows haven't got a clue. They're Trinitarians and everything else. Brother Branham was the true seed, the representation. Now, enter into the holy city. What is this? This, again, is mentioned in Hebrews 12, 18 to 19, where it says you haven't come to Mount Zion. Why? Because Mount Sinai in Galatians is the earthly Jerusalem, the mother church. See, the daughter and her heart and her daughters. But you get over here to Mount Zion, it's our mother. See, we are part of it. It's a great bride church. And it says at that time, you must not. Well, let's read it. I guess I could quote it just well enough, but there's no use trying to quote when I have never memorized it. The 12th chapter here. And it says in the 12th chapter, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not or refuse him that spoke on earth, much less shall we escape when we turn us from him that speaketh from heaven, the one from heaven. Now, whose voice then shook the earth? Now, you can put that in two places. You can put that at Sinai, where Paul mentions they were fearful and trembling. And you can put it at the cross, when he gave up the ghost, there was an earthquake. And I guess there was one also, that the earthquake continued through till the graves actually opened. In other words, it was sequential. Maybe not shaking all the same time. Now, it says that this time, there's going to be a shaking down. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. He's talking about Mount Zion. He's talking about the future New Jerusalem. Then it says, we receive a kingdom. Now, that whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, when did that consuming fire start? Right here. Right over here. Just as pure and simple. We're into it. Now, with that, we're going to go back to Romans, the 8th chapter. And we're going to look at verse 14 to 23, which we were doing a while ago. For as many led by the sons of God, they are the sons of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, the fullness of it, or the end of it, the completion of your adoption, is in the resurrection. Now, you've got the spirit that's going to put you there. The spirit is held written with our spirit. They were the children of God. Now, don't you understand that's how Adam was in the Garden of Eden? He had what it would take to put him into immortality. And, of course, they blew it. Now, if children and heirs of God joined heirs with Christ, if we suffered him, that we might be glorified together with him. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the unsaid expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's a coming forth of sons of God. Now, if there's going to be a manifestation of sons of God, there's going to have to be a manifestation of the Son of God. That's where the whole church gets messed up, because they think that the appearing is the rapture, when the appearing is a preparation for the rapture. It's not the rapture. Now, it said, for the creation was made subject to man and not willing, but reason of him was subject to the same in hope, because the creation itself shall be delivered in the bondage of corruption of the glory, delivered to the children of God. We know whole creation grows together and travails in pain till now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves, groaning ourselves, waiting for the adoption to it, the redemption of the body. Now, it tells you right there that what has got to happen. Now, notice. Verses 14 and 15. For as many as are led of the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, let's understand, you can be a regular old Balaam, and you can be led of the Spirit of God, too. You can be high priest Caiaphas, led of the Spirit of God. At the end time, you can have all manifestation of all nine gifts. And be as phony as a $3 bill. We're looking at something different here. We're looking at those led by the Spirit of God are led by the Word. They are not led by a product of the Word. The beast was a product of the Word. Satan was a created being. God spoke him into existence, because that's how God does things. The Word being created. Now, as many as are led by the sons of God, they are the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. The Spirit is in the Word, and the Word is in the bride. Now, notice, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, he's talking about this very thing that I'm telling you about. And that is the adoption, the finality, is in the resurrection. And it's at that time that creation is unbound. The same as man. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's what it says here. And it says creation is waiting for us. Now, we already got the evidence of the Holy Ghost. We've already got the designation, which means we've got the token we're going to be redeemed. But at the same time, we're groaning. But listen, there's a time when we won't groan. Now, listen, let me get these verses again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This is collective. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Our Father. Now, this is not worship per se. This is fellowship and communion. And because the recognition of who He is and who we are, there is reverence which constitutes a worship, an adoration. The Bible doesn't speak of worship. It speaks of love. You follow what I'm trying to say? I wonder why I preached these series so long ago. I couldn't place it. I told you my method. I know something's there. I hammer and I hammer and I hammer it so it comes out. So we see it now. Listen to it. And understand this here. We're going to go back and remember Adam is standing in the presence of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Oppression. Good turned sour. Blessing turned to cursing. Man a free moral agent, messing up. And right there stood that tree, the epitomization of everything that God stood for with man. You follow what I'm saying? Now, they turned down immortality. And when they do, you will notice that when God comes down in the cool of the evening to have fellowship, they have fear. They're scared. The fear is there. Now listen, the tree of life is there to be taken and become immortal. God draws the curtain. Right at that time, they are standing there. Now listen, let's go to John, 1 John. The 4th chapter, beginning at verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Now, let me tell you something. If you haven't experienced the love of God and understand it by revelation of the Word, by the Holy Ghost in it, you don't know beans about this. You just think you do. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Now, it tells you that love which we have will come to a place of an end which is glorious and perfect within itself. As Brother Branham said, this age will return to that perfect love.
Okay, you listening? All right, hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. That is the baptism with the Holy Ghost of his Spirit. You're baptized with the Holy Ghost, and you know you are because you're led of the Spirit, which means you listen to that word. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, he doesn't say that you people saw it. He said, I saw it. And I'm telling, like Brother Branham said, I tell you by vision. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of God that hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And that day you know I'm in the Father, and you and me, and I in you. All right? Now watch this. Herein is our love made perfect. No. Herein hath love been perfected with us. You're talking now about the perfection of love. Now listen again. Herein hath love been perfected with us that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That's not till now. Not to now. The righteous will not come into the judgment, and the righteous will stand in the judgment. You can't blow them away. This is not an iffy situation. Up until now, it is an iffy situation. At this point, there comes the dynamism, the conclusion of that love, that it says in the book of 1 Corinthians, that which is perfect has come, and until that time, now abides faith, hope, and love. And when perfection comes, there will be a return to that love. There's got to be. You see, they fell from it. Began waning away. That we may have boldness. That we may have the parhesia, which is the free spokenness. I think that's the same word at Inigo. That we may be bold. That we stand right up. Which is fellowship restored, not defiance. Eve was not defiant. She was fooled. She was deceived. Satan was defiant. If anybody was defiant, Adam was. And he wasn't defiant. He sold out his wife. Adam was made in the image of God, and Eve was made in the image of Adam. So therefore, God expected Adam to live up to his sonship. But you see, Eve was a little bit like his creation. So he had to go to bat for her. That's your stinking organization, your church systems. The organization, the wife leaves God. You can't have your cake and eat it. Now, there is no love, fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. But you better have perfect love. Because fear hath torment. Then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 7... the relaxation of the seventh seal in the presence or the parousia, there and there, especially there, you don't have fear anymore. Love is perfected. Love is finished. What do you think of Noah when he got in the ark and God closed the door? I'm telling you, folks, I'm get this flat. You still worry, and you wonder, and you wonder about people. God shut that door. No, didn't shut that door. Then you shut up. Get your stupid ideas. You better come to grips. Cain and Abel played like a little kitten.
with the same little ball, same little mouse. Till it came to the harvest time, the showdown over God's word.
Right.
Over the sacrifice. Over the truth. And watch where it went. I'm not trying to make you mean. I'm just trying to, don't listen, grow up. It's all over. Brother Brandon said, I've combed this country. He said, 50 came down. He said, maybe none of them were saved. America's all saned out. The only thing possibly left is a foolish virgin, someone coming to the word. I don't know. How else the animals went to the ark? What do you want? See? If a brother say, I love God and hates his... A man say, another, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. If he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? I get that all the time. Well, we can't stand to leave here. We sure like the word. That's the funniest thing I ever heard in my life. I was saying, I can't stand my wife, but I like her sex. Some of you guys like that here tonight? You got one crappy marriage. Oh, I strike pretty hard at times, but I have fun doing it. I don't mind getting back. Hey, I'm human. Not a human. I'm worse than that. What's this nonsense? You don't love this. I've been preaching this for years here. It is this word that counts or nothing. Get that flat. This word counts or nothing. Brother Branham imputed to the end time ministry his own proving creation. That by the faith God gave us in this word, he stood at Einstein and said, we could create universes. What I'm trying to show you is this. Eve was a part of that very word. And she walked off. Oh, look here. Come on. I'm not here lording over you. I'm not going to be with you too long. Don't worry. I got feelings of just moving on or doing something. I'm restless as can be. And the only happiness I have is up here, not tearing you down. I have to hit you a little hard in the head sometimes to make you smarten up and see where the cookie crumbles and all. Well, then I'll leave this pulpit, it's all over. No animosity, no nothing. It's nothing up here anyway. But listen, understand this scripture. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. He loveth not his brother whom he hath seen. How can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from God, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Now, Brother Branham distinctly said, when God demands something, God makes sure that you get it. He said in Matthew 5 and 48, be thou perfect as your Father in heaven. He said, well, God gave a commandment, then he made a way for it. And he scattered that sin by the blood till there's no evidence of sin. Then how can you make a man a sinner? Then how could you not have that love of God from the Word? Brother Branham said categorically, how can a man who believes all the Word have any fellowship with those who only believe part of the Word? Now we're narrowing it right down. Should we close the church? Sell it? Let's sell the church. I'll give you all a piece of the action. I never mind you what I got in it. It's worth $300,000. Maybe you could put a down payment on a house or go on a vacation. We're not here just in the building. It's not going to do it. I never dedicated the building this way. Dedicated for one thing, the holy word of Almighty God. Family. No matter what your kids do, you can string them up and take every inch of height off them. But something in your heart knows you're your kids. There's enough love there than you could do if you possibly could, but sometimes you can't. I'm talking about that. God made a way for it. And God did not just make a way, my brother, my sister. Making a way is not the answer. Because when God makes ways, man can fail. But Brother Branham said, this time, when that word went in, the womb of the mind would snap shut. And the senses exercised under righteousness. See, I know what serpent seed is, and I know this, and I know that. And I'm going to tell you, that is not a doctrine. No. 2 Corinthians. We read it. It said, you used to be a virgin, but you're not anymore. how Adam would have loved to say, I'm not afraid. When God came down previously, he was not afraid. But now he is afraid. What was that difference? One word. How can I be afraid now in the presence of God? Okay. Let's go back to Romans, the 8th chapter. Trouble me, I never get finished these notes. But I get it from here anyway. By the time I'm finished, we'll have a fairly full story of Satan's Eden and the dust that this old serpent kicked up because he lived in it. All right, listen. The Spirit of salvation is our spirit. We're the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ. If so be suffered him, we may be glorified also. Now, it tells you that. There's going to be a penalty pay, which the big penalty always is the great battle of Armageddon, which is in the mind. Now, in the 16th and 17th verses, which I read here, the Spirit bears witness, we're children of God, and so on. We can go over here to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. For we have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat but serve the tabernacle. For the bodies, those beasts whose blood is bought in the sanctuary by a high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one. So where is he at the time we are going to meet the continuing city? He is outside the church. Can you dump your church and your doctrine? Can you leave your father, your mother, sister, brother, your relatives? Can you do it? If you can't, you're not worthy. You've gone stuck to yourselves. Okay, let's go further. You can compare that with Revelation 3 and 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and so on. And also, you can compare Hebrews 6. They crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh. Then going back to chapter 8 and 18 to 23 again, you will notice he's speaking of the complete restoration, which is the millennium. How is it done? It's got to be done through God removing all fear, which all fear is removed by perfect love, which is removed by the perfect lover. The one who comes down and says, fear not. The one that comes down in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 to 10, when all the world's going to be judged, there's going to be fire. But unto you shall the Son arise and rise with healing in his wings. You'll tread upon those that are destroyed. There'll be ashes under your feet. It won't go puffed up under ashes. It means they're all burnt up and gone. And there it is now. Listen, with this goes Romans, the 4th chapter, because it's all the same book. All the Bible dovetails. There's nothing that doesn't dovetail at the end. Don't think it does because it doesn't. It says here, it says written, I have made you father of many nations before whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which are not as though they were. This is categorically, categorically, exactly how God does things, because in chapter 8 of Romans, at the end, it absolutely says here, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called, and whom he called, them he justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And if time and eternity has mingled, per se, we are already glorified with the faith of Abraham, who called himself the father of generations when he was nothing. Yes, sir, he said, I'm it. I'm that one. How do you get that way? Go over to Philippians, the 2nd chapter, and you get back to the true word of Almighty God. Look what it says here. Let this mind be, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a prize to grasp and meet with God. But emptying himself, made himself a reputation, took on himself the form of a servant, in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion, man humbled himself, became beaten to death, even to the death of the cross. Let's look at Eve. What about Eve? She had the mind of God through Adam, and Satan came by. He said, now, he said, listen, he said, I tell you what, girl, you know, there's a great thing to be like unto God. It's a great thing, he said, to be equal with God. Why? He said, there's something out here. And she said, do tell. She put her mind exactly opposite to the truth. She denied who she was and where she was. That's right. Now listen, Jesus knew exactly who he was, that he came from God and went to God. He knew his former position, his theophonic form. He knew all about it. And he put that all aside and came down to be a man amongst us. Now the Bible said, let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus. He laid aside that in order to accomplish for us that we can lay aside our own thinking and believe what he said about us. Now, Brother Branham said some things hard to be believed. But I'm going to tell you, before you get out of here, you're going to have to believe him. There's no two ways about it. All right, get back to our reading here. Because we're talking about the fact that Brother Branham is saying here that knowledge, and that's the wrong kind of knowledge. And remember, there is no knowledge that is not based upon what God said or what God did. Now, the point is, how are you going to take it? You can take it right or wrong. But there's going to come a time when there's going to be somebody. Now, listen, get this flat. They, without us, cannot be made perfect. They are over there in theophonic forms. They can love, they can hug, they can kiss, they can't eat, and they have no desire to copulate or to lie or do one filthy thing. The 16-year-old girl was a 90-year-old when she got saved, and Brother Branham could hug her. It wasn't one bit of feeling. Try that. Perfect. At the end time, the Son of God will turn his head. We'll read about it. We're not talking now of people just being so right and goody-goody. I'm talking about what God is going to do through people. What he's going to do in them, because Brother Branham said so. I see they threw that away. Now let's read paragraph 65. There you are. Man wants to establish himself or themselves, men. Let God do something for a person, send him out. And every man tried to personate it. They're trying to establish themselves. Satan did, Eve did. I did this, me, I, my denomination, me, this, established leadership, themselves. What are we preaching about? Ourselves or the kingdom of God? Establish the word of God. Take out unbelief. Sure you will once you establish it. And establish the kingdom of God in men's heart. Now that's the key of the hour. Because the kingdom is amongst us and it's in the dimension right now. The kingdom of God cannot be established in a man's heart unless God made him thus. In other words, you can't receive it unless it is there to be received. All right. Now remember the deceitful part. When men think that it's right, there's a way that seems right, and man ends up the ways of death. That's Proverbs 16:29. The context is, 16:25, and the context is 16:21-24. You can read yourself. Now, we're going to miss 66 and that paragraph in there, and go to 67, because that is a peripheral, a little bit of well, we can read, I guess. I told you, a few Sundays ago, I stood by my dying baby, Satan standing there, said, there's your daddy. He died in your arms the other night. There's your wife, lying dead in the morgue. Your baby's going. And you ask him to answer. He pulls a shade down over you. And you know, and yet you say he's a good God. You said he's a healer. And you standing there, you said it was right. You're wrong. Oh, every reason, every mental faculty's had to agree. It was right. He was right that much. So he's right when he told Eve, your eyes will be open, and you'll know right from wrong, and you'll be as gods that way, knowing right from wrong. See, that's where it was. They got to know that one thing, not the other. Because God didn't let them see themselves yet, that they were naked. So they knew they would know right from wrong. And he was right. But you see, it was contrary to the word. Now, because God didn't let them know, let them see themselves yet, that they were naked. Now, he tells us, at the time Adam and Eve knew right from wrong, God let them see themselves, and they saw themselves naked. There was something wrong, you see, with it. They tried to cover themselves and hide, and there is no use. They couldn't do it. And today Satan has blinded their eyes, as in Revelation 3:17, and they cannot see their condition. They are veiled with the wrong veil. Now, Genesis 1:26, where he said, be fruitful and multiply, was said first of all, of course, when he was in a spirit form, said to Adam, and was It was said, of course, at that time, be fruitful and multiply was the first word that was given to them. And so, therefore, that was the great command that God wanted, the multiplication of children to bring them into this world. And, of course, that is where they went wrong. That's where you can see the tree of light and the tree of good and evil at that time was the perversion of their sexuality. As Brother Branham said, they would have come to it because that's exactly what would have happened. But they got out of divine order. It's the same you can say with Cain. He offered a first fruit offering. Had he done the other first, he'd have been perfectly legitimate. But you see, they got off, and in doing this, they interbred the human race where serpent seed comes from. Now, verse 68. And so do ministers and seminaries learning man-made theology. Now, what is the first command? They are there to replenish the earth for God. See? And there's no way you can do it except planting the word seed. And so they're like Adam, like Eve, they're going to get off. How? On the wrong foot with the wrong word. She obeyed the command. And Adam, replenish the earth. But what with? See the answer, what you're looking at? Now listen, these guys with their man-made theology, it may seem right. It may be a good understanding of the thing, but it's wrong. Cain, you have offered a good offering. It was in the book. But it's wrong the way you did it. It was an excellent sacrifice, but you blew it. Preachers preach the Word of God. A sister told me years ago in Florida, I think it was the great Dr. Robert Lee, I think it was, the great minister. And I was eulogizing him, and she didn't want to say, after dinner, she said, Brother Ben, I want to talk to you. I said, what is it? She said, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but she said, you know that minister you talk about, I was in his church down there in, I think it was Dallas, Texas. I said, I'm not sure, maybe Houston somewhere. And she said, listen, I never heard a sermon all my life any better in my life. But Brother Bale, at the end of the sermon, and he gave the altar call, he spoke and shake my hand. He said, now you're saved. They didn't know you're saved. Listen, it was there. It was a good sermon. But it brought forth weeds. See what a tragic thing it is. Water brings forth the tares. The anointing can do it. See, what a terrible, terrible thing that was. See? Now, but it's wrong. We don't have to understand it. We believe it because God said it so. And that settles it forever. The whole thing. Now, that's what Brother Branham is saying. They believe a certain amount. Then they rationalize away the rest of it. Oh, how Eve lusted to have a PhD. How she lusted to be smarter than what she was. Well, that's a pretty strong word, but true, because he said it was. In other words, she wanted to become superior. She couldn't rely on the word as though that were enough. So, what we don't like, we take away. What we do like, we add to it. No wonder Brother Branham couldn't do anything when he came on earth here. They had a deck of cards stacked against him for 2,000 years. Only those ordained to believe could believe, and that's the Bible. I said, I'm going to close. I'm going to hold just a few minutes. Watch now in closing. Compare this now. How much like man and wife, both in God's Eden, without one stitch of clothes on them and knew it not. Why didn't they know it? They were veiled to their senses of nakedness by the holy veil of the Holy Spirit. They could look right at each other and they didn't know they were naked. They were veiled with the Holy Spirit of holiness. They were veiled. God veiled, yet today can look and not lust. They turned their heads. It's a holy veil. God had their eyes. See? One was man, one was woman. They did not know they were naked because the holiness of God kept their eyes veiled. Notice, God hid their consciousness. I think he means he made them unconscious from what could be sin. And what was sin, potential sin, by veiling them. And that's what the Bible says at the end time. You can be through the blood of Jesus Christ. In fact, I don't know it even says end time. It says there's no consciousness of sin. Man living above it. Now, we're going to leave two verses off here, paragraphs, and go to 72. because he makes an interpolation here about some preaching he did. Now, notice now, the Holy Spirit of God's holy word had a man and woman naked. You know what he said there? Now, notice, the Holy Spirit of God's holy word had a man and woman naked, and they didn't know it. How beautiful. Life of the word, the seed, the word. See, giving us power to live above, these things would attract us. And remember, the major attraction is not an action. The major attraction is the overthrowing of the word. Because Brother Branham has previously said, when Eve got from behind the word, she was gone. So don't get this mixed up. And getting an idea, if a naked woman walks down the road, that you're just as, you know, you can just go to hoochie-coochie show and that's okay, it won't faze you. It'll faze you all right. But you can turn and invert your eyes and walk the way you should walk. That's what the Bible said, a man that's got a wife, that's his satisfaction. She's his and he's hers back and forth. You see? Yeah, how beautiful, life of the word, the seed of the word. God said there's a tree in the midst of the garden. Now notice he brings it to the woman. And he's used this before. And in the midst of the garden is this tree. Don't even touch it, for the day you eat of, that's the day you die. They were warned positively that the day that they did it, that's the day they were gone. What about the day God said they could do it? They never waited for it, did they? He said, don't touch it. In other words, don't get all emotional about those things. They were wholly veiled. They were safe in God's pavilion. They were alive. They had no death around them. Hallelujah. They had perfect love, one for another, perfect life forever. That's where the Bible teaches that men and women living together in union should treat each other as brothers and sisters. I know it's not done too well, but that's what God wanted. And by that I mean to honor each position in Christ. It doesn't mean, like some people say, you abstain from sex. The Word of God forbids that. And especially in fasting, because after you fast a while, a man has more desire than in any other time. So watch your ways if you think you can get holy or abstain from this and that. You come to me before you make any action, I'll talk to you. Because you'll blow it. I know too much about this subject. Don't try to kid me. I've studied too many years and seen it. They had God's Word and kept it. They were alive and safe in God's Eden with no death at all around them. It wasn't the sexual act. That's what happened when they got away from the Word. That was the manifestation. That was the whole thing there. Because Brother Branham said they would have come to him. And also the Word of God distinctly says the bed is undefiled. And Brother Branham said it is an act of righteousness. So all right, don't get crazy, crazy ideas. Now, let's go back to the interpolation. Now, he says here, they were in this garden, senses veiled by God's holy word, the Spirit, and so on. And then he said here, they were not conscious of sin, which is what is in Hebrews 10 and 2. Their conscience now purged. They're not conscious of sin. Sin is passed from them. Now, notice, he interpolates. I heard Brother Neville say this morning, someone might have been asking him, why didn't I preach on the Holy Ghost? Why didn't I do this? Here it is. The Holy Ghost is the action in you. Now look at that statement. You don't dare take the way it's written. Any more than you can say the soul is an atmosphere. The soul is an entity. An atmosphere is produced by the entity. The Holy Spirit's not an action. The Holy Spirit is a life and therefore an actor. Not an emotion, not some sort of fleshly evidence, but it's a person, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, established in your heart to quicken every word of this age. Right, watch the Holy Ghost in action. See now, he says, not so much in demonstration, but in action. What it does according to the Word. The Holy Ghost will say amen to every word. That's what he's saying right here, like he said every other place. So this is what you're looking at here. You're not looking at something else, but you are looking at that word. Don't move from it, because it alone is the conduit of the Holy Ghost. The minute you add or take, the Holy Ghost is gone. Amen. Mustn't do those things. Well, we'll get back on Sunday. I want to save this. I got a quote for you, which I didn't get around to. All right, let's rise and be dismissed at this time. We'll continue next Sunday. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for your kind goodness to us. I believe, Lord, you answered our prayer, and maybe in some places we're a little bit tough on the people, but I've no axe to grind with anybody here, Lord, at all. Just realizing that some people don't understand, maybe don't come right in that word, Lord, as we would like to see it done. I don't pretend myself either, Lord, but I do believe that I have from you that which is positively right to bring to the people your guidance, showing those things, Lord, from what the prophet taught. Understanding even the phraseology, what he said here and what he said there, and seeing it all come together, realizing, Lord, the truth of the whole thing. How can the Holy Spirit be where there is a perverted word? How can he not be diminished if the word is taken away? And how can he not be monstrous if a word is added? It just wouldn't work. We know that Brother Branham categorically said you don't add a cat cell to a dog cell. The bride is perfect, pure word. And how can she be except the Holy Spirit bring that perfect, pure word? And in dwelling with a person, being piling word upon word till the person is filled. Then finally the whole church is filled, all in. Capstone, Spirit coming down, capstone word. One day rising to meet our Lord in the air. How good and how gracious you are, Lord. Now, Father, as we dismiss tonight, we pray there won't be any sick amongst us. Heal the sick, we pray. We prayed already, Father. Just confirming our faith again before you that these things don't need to be. They don't need to be, Lord. And one day they won't be. Hallelujah. Help everyone that needs help, Lord. There may be jobs that are necessary. There may be feelings that have been hurt. There may be homes that are having problems. I don't know, Lord. I know one thing, that man that's born a woman is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. That's what we know. And we know we got troubles here, but we know we got the great Prince of Peace amongst us. Actually, we have King of Peace and King of Righteousness, Melchizedek, in our midst, giving us the word, imparting his life, until one day the dead come out of the ground. Hallelujah. And we all rise to meet him in the air. Thank you for the fellowship together. Father, we haven't only preached about loving each other and brothers and sisters. I've been doing it for years now, Lord, and I feel that, and I got no right to go by feeling, but I can't expect your word to take over, Lord, that great love of the brethren will be in this church. And there will be not one with disaffection. There will be not one put out, not one worry any longer, recognizing things, sure, but going down the road looking for the great recognition, even as Abraham with his old beard flowing in the wind. Maybe a bald head by that time, his back all crooked, no more a father than nothing than a hill of beans, and yet saying, I am the father of multitudes, and Sarah, my wife, she's the one that starts it with me. Lord, that's a real testimony, in spite of everything that looks completely opposite. We may have our opposition here, Lord, but we do have a testimony, and that is, we love you because you loved us, the love shed abroad in our hearts, coming to perfection. We love our brethren. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor and glory through Christ our Lord.